Now, one of the most historic chapels in the Milwaukee area is in the process of being taken down. The St. Francis Convent Chapel was built more than 120 years ago by one of the state's most famous church architects, and its story is tied to the history of the Lake Franciscan nuns who called it home. John Gerda is a Milwaukee historian whose books include The Making of Milwaukee. He recently wrote about the St. Francis Chapel for the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel's Ideas Lab. John, welcome back to Central Time.
Nice to be here, Rob.
Well, you called this chapel in your piece the prettiest church you never saw. You did get to see it once. Can you paint us a picture of it before we go into the history?
It was certainly very Gothic, and the architect was a man named Erhard Brielmeier, who's most famous for the Basilica of St. Joseph out in the south side, which is this probably the biggest church in Wisconsin. Certainly among them is this wonderful kind of scaled-down version of St. Peter's in Rome. And he designed a Gothic church and attached it to the mother house, finished that back in 1895. So it was not a traditional church, you know, that would have mass for the general community in a neighborhood. It was for the nuns, you know, which is why it was the chapel very few people saw. But I was in there, and it was gorgeous. You know, it was just spectacular windows. They were imported from Innsbruck, Austria, the Tyrolean Art Glass Studio, which was just a masterful practitioner of stained and painted glass. So it's sad to see it go.
And it was connected to the Lake Franciscan nuns. Can you talk about their early history in Milwaukee?
The Lake Franciscans are a Franciscan order who began to arrive here back in 1849 when the city of Milwaukee was just 3 years old, and they intended to minister to all the German immigrants who were so abundant here in Milwaukee and in Wisconsin. And they came into the orbit of St. Francis Seminary, and the nuns were, as they became, the sisters as they became, were asked to bake bread and make bricks for the seminary.
So it wasn't quite what they had in mind, right?
No, not quite. So some of the foundresses, it was called the tertiary order. It was lay, but not ordained. But it's both men and women. The guys left, and the women formed an order of their own in 1853, the first Franciscan order in America. The others were imported from Europe. And they did certainly support the seminary at the same time. They took on ministries ranging from St. Emilion's Orphanage to St. John's School for the Deaf, you know, so they had a very, very large role to play in education.
And they're connected in large part, you write, at least at some stages, to Milwaukee's German-American population.
They were all German. They were all from Bavaria. And it took them a while before they assimilated enough to take English-speaking novices or candidates. and that was true for all the orders, you know, the Polish, the German, Italian, and others. You know, it was took a while to Americanize them. They founded Cardinal Stritch College. You know, so that's an order, sister Order of St. Francis institution as well.
So why now in 2020 are we losing the chapel? Other parts of the church buildings had come down already, it sounds like.
They have, and basically it's a reflection of the decline of religious vocations, in the Catholic Church in particular, but more generally in America. You know, poverty, chastity, and obedience, you know, these are not something that, you know, it's always been hard, and it's a much harder sell in 2020 than it was in any other time. So the order, the Lake Franciscans, who were at one time up to nearly 1,000 sisters, is down to about 158, and I think their average age is 82. So they're, you know, this is not a growth proposition. So what they've done is they tore down the old St. Mary's Academy, which for many years was a center for the nonprofits, and they turned that into essentially offices for the order and also a care facility for the aging nuns. And that will, in time, as they age out and kind of move on to their own rewards, will become a facility for the general public. So it's kind of, in some ways, an exit strategy, and obviously quite expensive to put up new buildings. So there was an attempt, or at least hopes, that they could reserve the chapel. But when they tore down the mother house, that exposed the south wall, and putting a new entrance in would have been a rather ambitious project. So it was... I talked to the sisters. I see them on the grounds there. We live not too far away in the Bayview neighborhood, and there's it's heartbreaking. You know, it's just to lose that kind of iconic, that touchstone of the past and identity, you know, for the order has certainly been very painful.
And in your piece about the chapel, you also wrote about the loss of a person with a deep connection to the chapel and an unusual connection to you, it turned out, one of the sisters. Can you tell that story?
That's right. Probably the best-known sister from the order is Sister Thomasita, Thomasita Fessler, who was a very well-known artist back in the 50s, 60s, 70s, and 80s, and then later. She was raised in the house in which we live in Bayview on Delaware Avenue. Her younger sister, Annette, was also a member of the Order of St. Francis, the Lake Franciscans. So something we had not known, and a relative who lives down the street said, you know, really, having a sister in Delaware would be kind of fun. You know, she'd enjoy it, and you'd probably enjoy it, too. So she died just this last fall, and we had her over for we gave her some Christmas cookies and showed her the tree, and she, the best story she told, she was born in this house, and I'm talking to you from the house in which she was raised, but the best story she told was she walked to St. Mary's Academy, which was a Catholic girls' school on the lakefront that is on the site of the present convent, the brand-new convent, and when she joined the order, and this is back in the days with those really heavy habits, you know, so it gets to be 80, 90 degrees, and she said when she was a girl, she would go down in hot weather to swim on Bayview Beach every day in the summertime, you know, so it's kind of free and easy as a young girl. And then when she was a nun, she would look out the window at the same beach and be unable to go there. Oh. And she said that was such a penance.
That's one way to look at it. Now, the loss of this chapel, is this something you think we'll see with more churches and chapels around the state in the future?
Oh, absolutely. No, this is it's a rare case in that it's a religious orders building. But as these older buildings become harder to maintain, and we have an older house here in 1907, and it takes a lot to keep these things up. And as neighborhoods change, as congregations, move elsewhere, you know, certainly there has been a lot of attrition among Wisconsin religious buildings, and it will certainly continue. That's what makes the success stories, you know, all the more heartening. And probably the most famous one, or the most notable one, is the Brielmeyer project, which is St. Joseph's Basilica. Now that's been brought back to its original glory. It's a great success story. So there is, I'm not sure what the ultimate balance will be, but there have been gains or certainly preservations that have balanced the losses.
And John, briefly, we've talked to you before about the big picture of the history of Milwaukee. We see you've got this long view where you see institutions like this rise and fall. It's part of life in a city in a lot of ways.
Absolutely. Cities live and breathe. Communities live and breathe. So I think certainly I'm a preservationist. I think we need to make sure that the built environment around us, the one that have been handed down by our ancestors, is vital to preserve that. At the same time, you cannot enclose any building or neighborhood in amber. You know, they need to breathe. You know, they need to kind of respond to the outside world. And, you know, that certainly you see that. The downside of that, obviously, is that, we lose buildings. But at the same time, you know, life is change.
John, thanks a lot for joining us.
My pleasure, Rob.
John Gerda is a Milwaukee historian. His books include The Making of Milwaukee. He joined us for a look at the city's St. Francis Convent Chapel just outside of Milwaukee, completed in 1895, being torn down this year.